So this is, we're reading about the qualities of Krishna. This would be a little hard to, I hope no one faints when I read this quality. This is an extremely alarming thing I'm about to deliver in the pathway of your eyes. I mean, the pathway of your ears. And I'm not responsible for any reaction. This being Kali Yuga, you know, this is the age of what they call lying. And Krishna's quality, his eighth quality, is Satyavakya. Satyavakya. Vakya, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Arjuna Uvacha, as you know, it means, Vacha means speech. And a name for Saraswati is Vag, Vagishvari. Vag means, Vak becomes Vag. Vagishvari means the controller, the goddess of speech. She resides in the hollow of the throat. It's described that she lives in the, you know, there's your throat in the middle part. It's the hollow of the throat. She lives there. And there's a type of mantra meditation which one does to have perception of Saraswati. Satyavakya, this is Krishna's quality of his 64 qualities. A person who is called a speaker of truth and whose words are never false has the quality of Satyavakya. Pratitanya panchakam prakatam apravishyami te rana Ranoarvaritam ityadbut tavayatartam ivoditam ravir bhavati sritala kumuda bandarap yushanalas tadapina morantaka vyavacharishnur uktistava. This is a verse that must be from the Bhagavatam. As I mentioned, this book is neglecting to cite the reference, but it's from third canto, I suppose. You said, O Kunti, I will bring back your five sons to you from the battlefield alive with great honor. Your statement has come true. This is Krishna. Someone's speaking to him. O Murari, Sri Krishna, even though the sun may become cold and the moon may become hot, your words will never become untrue. That's quite an unusual event, that the sun will become as cooling as the moon and the moon will become as hot as the sun. That means never. It's an impossibility. So similarly, it's impossible. There never will be a time, now and forever, when Krishna will ever speak untruth. So this statement is made by Kunti to Krishna, who came to visit her after the battle was over. Harir yartartam magavendram uche sam shishtam abhyam saha pandavabhyam. Mam vedi krishnam bhavatak sapatnam. Though disguising himself as a brahmana, Krishna told the truth to Jarasandha. This is in Krishna book, 10th canto. When Arjuna, Bhima, and Krishna went to meet Jarasandha, they disguised themselves as brahmanas. And they, you know, that brahmana Arjuna had shoulders this wide. And they put a chadar over their head and they were carrying some books. We are three Brahmins, we've come to beg charity. And then Charasandha said, oh, come on. I can tell by the lakshana. You can tell one's varna or one's ashram, not ashram, but his particular caste by his physical features. The physical marks of a shudra or Brahmin, etc. are quite, in a Vedic culture where there were strict lines of descent, from the seminal descent, there wasn't a mixing of caste. Now there's all mixing of caste, so you can't get the proper representation of a caste body, a standard body of a kshatriya, a standard body of a Brahmin. So disguising himself as a Brahmana, Krishna told the truth. O king of Chetiraj, Magadha, or Magadha, understanding that it is I, Krishna, your enemy, accompanying the two sons of Pandu. So this, he's telling the truth. Listen, it appears that you're not brahmanas from your physical features and the way you're speaking like this. Jarasandha, we've come to beg some charity. Acha, you sound like a very gentle, peaceful brahmin. But sounds like a kshatriya with invincible power to me. Yes! I mean, no. I mean, yes, I am Bhima. the son of Kunti. And this is my brother, Arjun. Yes, I recognize your little friend there also. That little human-like friend, Krishna. Son of Krishna. Yeah, that's right. We're not brahmanas. We want to fight with you. And then he said, Krishna, you're a pipsqueak. You're too small. You're a weakling. I'm not going to fight with you. You're eating too many sweets. You don't have any strength. You have to eat rotis and dal to get strength. So this is the quality of his being truthful. There's a ninth quality, Priyamvad. Priyamvad. Vad means, of course, speech. Ramananda Samvad. The speech or the discourse of Ramananda Roy in Madhya Lila 8 in response of Lord Garanga's questions about tattva and different aspects of attaining levels of the higher and higher perfections. Actually, Prabhupada, we would like to embellish this verse-by-verse rendition of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we're doing, and we've also already completed Nectar Devotion, which is released in two tapes, the CDs, the whole book. Summary study by Prabhupada. Now we're going through verse by verse, which will take some time. I think it's going 4 years or so already, 5 years, so many years. The classes are done. I don't know. I may be done. I may be done before the classes are done. This one chapter has 200 pages. This is only part one. There's part two of the book also. So Prabhupada translates like this, truthful. And the Sanskrit, of course, is satya, satyavakya. You've heard this oftentimes. They say, oh, he's a Brahmin. It's supposed to be satyavacham, right? Jutbol, what they say, speaking lie, truth, untruth. A person whose word of honor is never broken is called truthful. Krishna once promised Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, that he would bring back her 5 sons from Kurukshetra. When all the Pandavas came home after the battle, Kunti praised Krishna because his promise was so nicely fulfilled. They all returned unscathed and unharmed. Kunti said, even the sunshine may one day become cool and the moonshine one day may become hot, but still your promise will not fail. Similarly, when Krishna, along with Bhima and Arjuna, went to challenge Jarasandha, he plainly told Jarasandha that he was the eternal Krishna, present along with 2 of the Pandavas. The story is, now the Prabhupada tells the story, which is, this is his purport of the Nectar and Devotion. There's a verse describing the 64 gunas of Krishna, and this is the 8th one, truthful. So this is Rupa Goswami's description and Jiva Goswami's commentary, as it is, and that's that. But then Prabhupada's giving his commentary, Bhaktivedanta commentary on the same verse from the first wave called Vibhav. So Prabhupada says, there is a story in the Krishna book that both Krishna and Pandavas, in this case Bhima and Arjuna, were Kshatriyas. Jara's son was a Kshatriya and very charitable towards the Brahmins. So Krishna made a plan to fight with Jarasandha, and he accompanied Bhima and Arjuna to meet him. But they disguised themselves in the dress of Brahmanas. Being very charitable towards Brahmanas, Jarasandha said, what do you want? Whatever you want, I will give you, because you're posing yourselves as Brahmins. I know what you really are, but you're posing as Brahmins, so my duty is to give you charity, because I'm a Kshatriya. So we find a similar thing today, that as Krishna and Bhima and Arjuna were Kshatriyas disguised as Brahmins, now we find some questionable characters disguised as Brahmins. Their character seems somewhat questionable sometimes, or their behavior by modern standards of morality or acceptable social behavior. But they are posing themselves as Brahmins, representing the Dvijas, the mouth of the Lord, Namo Brahmani Devaya Hitaya. They're here for the welfare of all. So they're posing as Brahmins, so we should follow our dharma as non-Brahmins to give them charity and to show them respect and honor, give them cloth. And then we benefit, even though they're not just like Krishna. So that's what he said. You're disguised outwardly. You have the cover of a Brahmana, but actually inwardly you're a Kshatriya. And so you don't deserve to beg money from another Kshatriya. If you want my money, you have to fight to get it. But if you're a Brahmin, you don't have to fight. You just say Swaha. If you're a Brahmin, you just say Swaha and you get a donation. Pranami. Easy. So Brahmins are intelligent. That's the signal. So why should I fight to get money? I say Swaha, Swaha, and I get a 1 lakh. Isn't it? That's why that's why they're considered the brains of society, because they're cleverly figured out how to get just as much money from attacking the king by serving the king. Become his Purohit. Like Kashimishra. Kashimishra was the guru of King Prataparudra. And so he was his guru, and Tirth Guru and Guru. He was favored so much by the king. So he said, okay, I'll give you charity. So that we have the same idea. This story can have an Adi Atmika Vichar. This Leela of the Lord and his Nityaparishads, the Pandavas with Jarasan, we can draw some application and relevant teaching to our everyday life and dealings of our Vaishnava Sadachar. Moving in a society of Vaishnavas, and especially in India, how to properly behave. So Brahmins are recipients of charity. They're saying they're Brahmins, they're posing as Brahmins, they're playing that role. So because sometimes modern people, they're intelligent. They say, what kind of Brahmin is this? He's wearing patent shirt. Like in this Vrindavan, especially Radhakund, it's very Raghunuga Brahmins. They're not even externally dressed like Brahmins, but they're taking that role and serving in a holy place. So then we say, okay, actually, your inner qualities are something else. Janmana jayate shudro. Janmana jayate shudro. And Kali Yuga is explained in Puran that by virtue of birth in Kali Yuga, most people have the qualities of a shudra. They like intoxication. They like women intoxication. They like to sleep a lot and eat a lot. And unfortunately, if you use this measurement, this ruler of measurement, you can find similar type of behavior amongst many of the Brahmins today because of Kali's influence. But anyway, Jarasandha gave them charity. He said, what do you want? And Krishna dressed as a Brahmin and declared himself. Krishna dressed, many times Krishna would dress as a Brahmin. Have you ever heard of Govinda Lilamrita? Surya Puja? Surya Kund? So there, which is about 8 kilometers that way, is Surya Kund. And it's all part of the Radhakund Leela, Madhyan Leela, that Jatila is coming to find Radharani. She's supposed to, at 11 o'clock in the morning, she was supposed to go to Suryakund, worship Suryadeva, and return by 1. And now it's 3:30, and she hasn't come back, so she's worried about her. Krishna said, the only charity we want to fight with you. So then he said, all right. He said, I accept your challenge. Because I know you're actually Kshatriya, so you're challenging me to fight, so I accept. But I want to at least have my choice of who I'll fight with, because it has to be one-on-one. And first of all, you are proposing to beg this battle with me, but you yourself are too young. You're too young, you're too small, you don't really know much about fighting, so I wouldn't even think about fighting with you. So that was very smart, that was very intelligent. He had that much intelligence. Even the demons have intelligence. So he figured out that I better not tangle with this little blue boy, but maybe I better tangle with his golden friends here, golden Arjuna and Bhima. So then he told Arjuna, actually that's what he told Arjuna. He said, you're too young and we're not of equal match, but in club fighting I'm equal to your brother Bhima, so let us fight with clubs. And the clubs were given by the servants, and the battle began. How many days? 27 days? One of those 27-day battles or something? It went on and on and on. There's many battles of 27 days. You see in the Krishna book, many times the battle of Krishna Jambavan. That was 27 days. It's always like 27 days. It's like sometimes it's some type of saptaha or something.